Welcome to the Real Estate Wealth Podcast, where we explore real estate as the most proven way to financial freedom. Join us for insights with leading experts and discover how vibrant health and an abundance mindset are the keys to true wealth. Today, I have the good fortune to speak with my friend and trainer, Phil Desois. Phil has been a fitness expert for over 30 years. He started his career as a certified personal trainer in 1993. He has had multiple training studios and a full-service health club here in Pasadena. 8 years ago, Phil made a transformative shift in the field of peak performance and coaching. He is now a professional, certified peak performance coach with expertise in helping leaders such as doctors and entrepreneurs achieve sustainable peak performance while maintaining work-life harmony. In addition to his professional pursuits, Phil is a dedicated husband and father. He shares his life with his soulmate and business partner, Michelle, who's also a very well-known fitness expert, by the way. They have two kids, which is how Phil and I think, originally met. Phil's mission is to guide all of his clients to avoid burnout, which is super important these days, as we all know, and be able to sustain performance as well as finding harmony in their professional and personal lives. So, Phil, welcome to the Real Estate Wealth Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Ed. I really appreciate you inviting me on.
Absolutely. So, Phil, I don't know, I gave a little intro, but if you want to kind of tell us and our listeners more about yourself.
Sure. Well, there's sort of two backstories there. Number one, what got me in fitness was acting. So I'm originally from Minnesota. My father was a doctor at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. But I always had aspirations for, big surprise, being an actor here in Los Angeles. So I came out here to go to school. I got into the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And instead of waiting tables or being a bartender, I decided to get a job as a trainer. And little did I know that that would end up being my career. That's where I met my wife. It's where I started my business. And it's where I've been over the last 30 years. So it's funny how things end up where they end up. And I'm glad that it, you know, sort of that accident happened.
Yeah, I think that was a great accident for you. And as I look back, I was trying to remember the first time you and I met. I think we both of our oldest sons are on the spectrum.
Correct.
And we were at some event in Pasadena. And you and Michelle were there, and you guys were kind of known fitness people in town at the time. And I think my wife and I met you through the, you know, kind of the autism world through both of our oldest sons, which is kind of interesting. And then years later, I remember I was down at the beach in Santa Monica and ran into a friend of mine who was completely transformed, shredded, ripped. And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? How did you get in this shape? And he said, I'm doing this thing called Peak 10 at Breakthrough Fitness. And so so then lo and behold, that Christmas, my wife got me, she signed me up to do Peak 10 at Breakthrough. And that's how I started training with you and Michelle. And that was, geez, probably 16, 17 years ago
it's
at this point, I think.
Yeah.
And it's been a great journey ever since. And I also got ripped through Peak 10 as well, by the way.
You definitely
did. It was a great program. So let's talk about shifting gears here, a little bit about the importance of peak performance that you talk about and longevity. I know you have a longevity component.
Yeah.
And that's one of the focus areas of the podcast this year as well, because I love the area of longevity and health and wealth. And to me, you know, when I think about it, it's like building wealth obviously is a fantastic thing and pretty much everybody wants to attain that. But without health and longevity, you know, what's the point,
right?
It's like you need to enjoy, if you're building wealth, you need to be able to enjoy it through leading a healthy lifestyle and a long longevity. When I think of longevity, I think of years where you're still active and productive,
right?
Not I'm 103 in a wheelchair.
Right.
That's not longevity. Right. So why don't you talk a little bit about the importance of peak performance and how you see it and what you're doing as it relates to performance and longevity.
Sure. And just to give a little framework, you know, for me, yes, I've been a trainer for many, many years, 30 years, but I've also been an entrepreneur. So I started my own studio back in 1997. That studio grew into another studio larger. that studio grew into a gym, a full service gym, which is where, you know, you did the Peak 10 program. And I know what it's like to, you know, have, you know, run a business and, you know, dedicate yourself to something much, much bigger than yourself. And as you know, Ed, all of the, there's a lot of stress related to your business. You know, it's like another child. It's like, it's something that you think about all the time, especially when you start it. So for me,
right,
you know, I was spending night and, you know, I was thinking about the business all the time, and having a son with special needs sort of added that challenge of work-life balance. And so, you know, what really got me into this concept of sustained performance is that one day I was driving home about the middle of the day during a typical work week, and I was exhausted, and I stopped at a red light, and I was thinking about, I was having this thought in my mind of like, maybe I could get sick, or maybe there could be an injury that I could get so that I could get a break. And that's when the car behind me honked their horn. And I thought they honked their horn because the light had turned green and I missed it. But what had happened was I had fallen asleep and I had started to roll into the intersection, and the car honked their horn. So it was a life-changing moment. And it's when I realized that not only am I an entrepreneur, but I'm a fitness expert. And what is this concept of sustained performance and longevity? And I look at longevity, the term longevity, as sort of another definition of sustained performance. How can you be your best self for as long as possible in all these areas of your life, as an owner, as a parent, as a father, as a husband? And so that moment really changed for me. And I realized that, you know, you really have to take care of yourself, because you are the most important asset in your business. You know, yes, the business can run, you know, without you all being there all the time, but at the end of the day, especially when you're starting the business, you are the most important asset. And so you have to take care of that. And how do you find time when you're really busy? You're very busy. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are extremely busy. And I think that's what I like to talk about, is how do you integrate being healthy so you can be your best over a long period of time while you're very busy? How do you, you know, have that synergy of that personal and work balance?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up kind of, you know, your intersection story where you almost got hit as a life-changing awakening moment. But interesting to me that you're at a point where you wanted almost something bad to happen to give yourself a break. And it's interesting because, you know, the mind-body connection is so intertwined and important. And I think we're realizing that more and more every year, every day. But you truly do. I believe people manifest what they think about and what they believe in, whether it's good or bad, right? You can feed your mind with really, really good stuff and that will manifest, or you can feed it with really, really bad stuff. Like, I wish I was sick. And I think oftentimes people get injured or get illnesses because they manifest it. And I mean, at a very, very subconscious level, right? Nobody thinks, oh, I want to get an illness or sickness. But sometimes they get to that point in their lives where they, at a very, very deep subconscious level, do manifest that because they're at a point of burnout or despair or giving up. So it's just super important to me, you know, what you feed your mind does definitely manifest. So you got to be very careful.
And the bot,
right? Because it can manifest great things or bad things.
Like
it's like a garden that you plant, right? Be careful what you plant.
That's right. It's like your dog. You're always training your dog to do something, right? You're always training yourself. Well, like Tony Robbins says, you know, where your focus goes, your energy flows. And I think this is a lot about energy. So you're absolutely right. I think mentally, I was telling myself that I could sort of handle things, but physically, you know, I couldn't. And there's different dimensions as well. Like you said, it's the mind. So mindset's important. It's the emotions. So it's physical. So the physical, mental, emotional piece, all of those are important. And when I had that moment, I wasn't just physically tired because I was in shape, I was active, but I was emotionally tired, I was mentally tired, you know, and so you have to address all those areas. So you're absolutely right. You know, what you focus on definitely expands.
You talk a little bit about rituals and habits and how important they are and how they affect people in their lives. And I agree with you 100%. Like, you know, habits shape right. who we are, right? There's a quote from Stephen Covey that I love that says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So again, these seeds of greatness are planted, and it really starts with sort of what you do on a daily basis. So do you want to talk a little bit about how you see the importance of having daily rituals and discipline and kind of getting those right habits right. in place? You know, because if you don't, bad habits will take their place, right? It's right. human nature.
And I think that it's important to identify that a habit, a ritual, you know, these are all similar things. So you might call it a morning ritual that you have, or this is a habit that I'm developing. But at the end of the day, all the skills that we want to develop in any area of our life really breaks down into different sort of skills and habits. And so if we want to be a healthy person, we need to do habits that healthy people do. That's how you reinforce that identity of a healthy person. And so I love the concept of just small, you know, the James Clear 1% better. I'm a big believer on consistency over intensity. I think figuring out ways to be as consistent as possible is you know, really a better path to long-term success. And as you know, like, you know, when it comes to wealth and building, you know, building your business, it's compound interest. I mean, it's these small little steps daily, consistently over time that really build up to these high level successes down the road. So that's why I like to break it down, and I have broken it down. I have seven, you know, habits today that I find most of the clients that are very successful perform at a high level in a consistent manner. That's that sustained performance over time. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of these habits, if not all of them, some of them. You know, I'll give some examples of them, you know, of as we break them down. But you know, if there's a morning routine, everyone has their own morning routine. So there is no one way, but there is your way. But having a morning routine is a habit. So we can kind of dig into those and kind of break those down so that, you know, people can walk away with something.
And habits, right. And habits require a lot of self-discipline as well, right? Not only to develop them, but to maintain, really to maintain over a long period of time. But I think you're right about the consistency factor. Like, I remember one thing I think about often when my alarm goes up at 5:30 in the morning to go work out with you is I remember reading a Jack LaLanne quote years ago. And if, for those listeners who don't know, Jack LaLanne was kind of the original, wouldn't you say, Phil,
yes.
sort of fitness guru back in like the 1960s,
yes, absolutely.
70s. He was, if you remember, he would like pull a freight train with his teeth and did all these kind of crazy swimming,
towing boats,
strongman stunts. Yeah. But but I remember reading, you know, someone asked him like, do you enjoy going to the gym and working out? And he said, you know, there's mornings where I would rather take a beating than go to that gym. But I know once I go and I work out and I finish, I can look myself in the mirror and say, Jack, you did it again. You conquered yeah. yourself. And that's what I think about often too. It's like, okay, I did it again. I conquered myself, because that's really what it's about, right? It's that discipline to be able to consistently conquer yourself, even when
it's
you don't
want
to do it.
It's that identity of when I say I do something, I do it, right? And so then you reinforce that identity. Mm-hmm. If I say I'm going to get up and I'm going to show up, I'm going to get up and I'm going to show up. And so you're reinforcing that, like you were saying. So there's, you know, all of these habits, again, build this identity of who you are and how you operate. And you're telling yourself, you know, when you set your mind to do something and you follow through and do it, you're reinforcing that. And that's, I mean, what a great, you know, trait and quality to reinforce, like you said.
Right. And then it becomes like a reinforcement loop, if you will,
yes.
too, right? Once you do it and then
yes.
reinforce, then it gets easier because you create your own reinforcement loop, if you will.
And by the way, Ed, that I would say that's the number one, you know, we'll talk about working out, but the number one habit I tell people to work on when it comes to working out first is showing up. Just show up. first. Mm-hmm. Get good at that habit. Because there's always 100 reasons not to show up. You got to find that one reason to show up.
That's right. And sometimes that one reason is having a buddy to work out with or a personal trainer to work out with where you have some accountability.
Absolutely.
Right? Which people need, where it's like, shoot, if I don't show up, I'm going to disappoint my friend.
That's right.
And oftentimes that's sort of enough motivational factor to do it. Or like our small groups that we do, right? We have a camaraderie and there's people there.
Yep.
We give each other a hard time if you don't show up. So there is that too, but that all helps. So let's get into the seven habits that you speak of.
Okay.
And kind of maybe go through one by one and talk about each habit and how you see them fitting in people's journey.
Sure. The first two habits I'm going to talk about are what I call bookends. So it's really hard to control the entire day that we have, but we have more control over how we end our day and how we start our day. And people are really big on morning routines. Everyone's talking about a morning routine, and I definitely feel like morning routines are key. But I would say habit number one is really building a evening routine. Well, I call it powering down. So, and the reason for that is that your evening routine tees up or sets up your morning routine. So some things, you know, a shutdown ritual for work. As you know, if you work late or you bring work home, you're not present with your family, you're thinking about things at 2 a.m, it affects your sleep. And sleep is critical. And the reason sleep is so critical is because energy is really your main power source is your energy. It's what you bring to your business. It's what you bring to your meetings. It's the fuel really for peak performance is energy. And so sleep becomes really, really critical. So some things like shutting down electronics, ending your workday, knowing what you're going to focus on, you know, the first three tasks of the next day. And this is something that I really like, which is I call reducing friction for the morning. So you gave an example of getting up early to work out, setting your clothes up, you know, putting your tennis shoes out, your clothes that you're going to work out, your water bottle, so you're not running around in the morning. You're just reducing the friction of what you're going to get done the next day. And I think that's critical so that when you put your head on the pillow, you can relax, you know what you're going to do the next day, you're ready to start, and you wake up focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's also important just to look from a calendar aspect at the next day. So you know ahead, okay, here's what I need to get done. And I'm also a big believer in sort of the 80-20 rule, right? Where it's like, okay, I have 10 things on my to-do list tomorrow, but like, what are really the two most important? If I get those done, right, I can accomplish, you know, 80% of what I need to get done from those two, which most people
right
will automatically go to the easier 8 than the harder 2.
right.
But I think that's also important. And it's funny you mentioned sleep. Like, sleep has become such a big deal, I feel like, really in the last 5 years, right? Like, I have an Oura Ring now. Everyone's tracking their sleep, talking about their sleep. And it's funny to me because if you remember back in the old days, you'd go to the gym and be like, you'll sleep when you're dead, right? It was like anti-sleep. You need to be productive.
Right.
You know, there's no time for
right
sleeping. And now everyone has sort of changed, you know, their attitude and tune on that. And I think just because there's been a lot of good studies that have been done with sleep and performance and overall, you know, well-being.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of energy is recovery. And so it's important to realize that it's great to have high energy, but to have high energy, you have to recover. And in those dimensions that we talked about, physically, you need to recover, emotionally, mentally. And look at me, I decided I was going to take a nap at a red light because I was so tired, you know, thinking I didn't need the sleep, and I did need the sleep.
Right.
So it's a critical piece for, again, think, play the long game, sustained performance.
That's right. Okay, so you call it evening power down. So you get in the mindset,
yeah, the power down.
You quiet your mind down, you plan your day for the next day, you prepare for a meeting or a workout, whatever you need to do, kind of clear the clutter, right? So you can go to bed feeling, okay, I'm organized for tomorrow, I'm good to go.
You sort of get rid of the overhead in your mind is mm-hmm a good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I bring these up, Ed, I think it's great that you give examples of what you do, you know, what I do. Like you said, you focus on, I have a big list of tasks, but what are the most important tasks? How am I going to dive into those first? You know, being clear about that sort of allows you to relax your mind and go to sleep and get a good night's sleep.
Right. And tackling the difficult, right? like my friend Brian Tracy says, eat that frog, right?
That's right.
Which is do the most difficult task first thing in the morning and get it out of the way, and you become a lot more productive. But yeah, I also have the rituals of the night before. I lay out my workout clothes, I get my water bottle, I get my tennis shoes, my socks, I do the whole thing to make it as easy and painless as possible to get out that door.
Streamlined, yes.
Yep.
Well, so let's talk about the morning, which I call a power up routine. So I feel like, you know, now that you've gotten a good night's sleep, you want to wake up and you want to kickstart your day. And again, this can be so different for everybody. I can throw some things out there. This is not how you have to do it. I think you have to figure out what works for you. Some people start with prayer or meditation. Some people journal. Some people exercise. I will say hydrating with water and some electrolytes first thing in the morning before coffee is a great way to get your system going again. And the analogy here is just like a, you know, if you had a car, like you're from the Midwest too, you're from Chicago, and you know, you didn't, in January, you don't jump out and get in your car and start it and just drive away. You have to warm it up. And so you have to get the fluids going. You have to get everything flowing in the car before you, you know, hit the gas and go. Mm-hmm. And I found that hydrating with a big glass of water, I put electrolytes in it, really, really kicks off the morning as a good habit to start.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard it also sort of flushes the toxins that are built up during sleep, right?
Yes.
Like water with some lemon juice, ideally like fresh lemon juice is supposed to be ideal for kickstarting and flushing those toxins or electrolytes, I guess, to a certain extent. Same concept. But yeah, that's what I do too. I drink water the first thing in the morning. And then I'm a coffee guy, so I do go to the espresso as the next move.
Sure.
But for me, I like moving the body, a little rolling, laying on the floor, stretching my back, those kind of things. And then typically like 2-3 days a week, I'll do a meditation. And it might only be 5 minutes, it might be 15 minutes, but usually some, you know, quieting the mind, going inward before you start your day, I think is also important.
So there's the mind body again, right? There's a movement to get the body opened up, get the body moving a little bit, get the blood flowing, and then the quieting of the mind, getting the mind focused. Because as we know, our thoughts, you know, will go crazy. And so it's really, really a really good practice. You know, and as I coach a lot of leaders, people want to be better owners, better leaders. They want to be calmer, more thoughtful, more effective. And so learning to get control of your focus, your mental focus and your mindset is really important. So meditation, some type of you know, deep focused breathing is a great way. It's exercise for training that mindfulness. Just like journaling, for some people that have a hard time with meditation, journaling can be that way, where you're expressing thoughts, you're getting focused on what you want to do, you're seeing where you're at, you're, you know, it's sort of a way to look at your thoughts externally and use that as a way to get focused.
Mm-hmm. I think, and you bring up breathing, I think breathing's a big one that people kind of forget about, right? Oxygen is life.
Right.
And so training yourself to breathe, because I do breathing exercises in the morning too, along with the meditation sometimes. But I think that also sort of trains yourself in stressful situations to what, you know, what do people always say? Like, don't forget to breathe, don't forget to breathe. But it's true. It's like when people are stressed and tense, what's the first thing that happens? Shallow breathing.
Right?
Your heart races, you go to shallow breath. So I think deep breathing and learn how to just calm the mind and really breathe deeply and either, you know, hold for a count, like I typically do, breathe in for a count, hold for a count, breathe out for a count, sort of trains your mind to forget, you know, to forget how not to breathe or to remember how to breathe in stressful situations, which invariably will happen during the day or during the week.
Absolutely.
So I do
it calms the nervous system down, right? Breathing calms the nervous system down. That's why when you stretch, there's that exhale and inhale. And when you exhale, you calm the nervous system down. When the nervous system calms down, the muscles relax, everything relaxes. So breathing is important, really important.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so that's your morning. You've now morning powered up. And then the next thing, we're headed out to the gym now. Let's talk about the workout piece.
So whether you work out in the morning or at noon or later in the day. I think working out is an essential habit. How often you work out, I think everybody has to decide, you know, what that is for them. But there's no question that the number one lever for longevity, you know, being healthier longer, is definitely working out. It's definitely fitness. And that could just be a lot of things, being active, playing golf, you know, pickleball, tennis, doing things that you love. Strength training, as you know, Ed, you've done that your whole life. It's a key component because we lose muscle mass. Our metabolism will go down as we lose muscle mass. But muscle also protects our body. It also energizes us. It also helps us burn calories. So I think lifting weights is for men and women has become very, very common now, which is great. Over the last 30 years, it's changed a lot.
I totally agree with you. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I used to travel, even when I first started this company 16 years ago, I'd travel to Phoenix or someplace, and I'd go down to the gym in the morning, and usually I was the only one there, maybe one other person.
Right.
Right. And especially at the weight rack. Nobody was ever at the weight rack with
me.
And now you go and it's like, shoot, I can't even pick up weights. It's packed. It's crowded.
That's right. Right.
So I think people have figured it out. I think a lot of women, you know, have thought over the years, like, oh, I don't want to get bulky. I don't want to get bulky lifting weights. But really, it's super important, and as or more important in some ways for women who are more prone to osteoporosis, right? Because,
correct,
you know, having muscle mass actually builds bone density. Right?
Right.
It keeps your bones stronger because it has to support the muscle that you're maintaining or growing, which a lot of people don't know or don't think about. So yeah, to me, and the caloric burn, right, of keeping good muscle mass is huge.
I mean, we could talk about exercise and all the benefits. It energizes you. It opens your body up. It improves your range of motion, your flexibility. It's great for your brain. So you want to talk about longevity.
Yes.
And, you know, right now we're at an age where we have older kids. And we have older parents, a lot of us. And so we have this window into the future. You know, my dad is going to be turning 85. And so he's 30 years ahead of me. And I can see the choices that he made in his 50s and how he's benefiting from them. My dad's very healthy, he's fit, he's mentally does great, he's sharp. He still exercises. He still walks up and down the stairs. Everyone thinks he's crazy. He thinks it's crazy not to walk up and down the stairs.
He's right about that. I saw, you know, the blue zones.
Yes.
The blue zone areas around the world. There's like seven of them. And one of the most common components of those blue zones is those people are walking.
Yep.
You know, oftentimes like in Italy, it's in steep hill towns.
That's right.
Where they're forced to walk up and down every day, which, you know, we get sedentary, and especially in America. You know, what's the first thing when the kids leave home? It's like, oh, let's buy that single level house.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because we don't want to walk the stairs. But I think it's very important to walk the stairs. And whenever I have a chance, typically in hotels, like I was just in a hotel back east visiting my son in college. And we were on the fifth floor, Noel and I. And we took the stairs every time we came and went from our room.
Perfect.
Didn't even think about the elevator.
See, and that's, you know? Again, Ed.
So I always take the stairs.
Again, Ed, see, that's just who you are, right? You're like, if I can get... I call that exercise snacking, which is something that I have under working out. You know, you don't need a lot of time. You can take 10 minutes and do some squats, some push-ups, some crunches. You can go up and down the stairs a few times. You can park your car further away. Like, we need to consciously, intentionally be more active. So working out doesn't always mean going to the gym and lifting weights. You can do body weight exercises. You can go for walks outside. Being in nature is important. Again, it's that whole consistency over intensity. And you can still be a guy, you know, somebody that works out in the morning and then sit at your desk for 10 hours and be sedentary all day. So just because you work out an hour of the day doesn't mean, you know, you're active. You still need to find ways to intentionally move as much as you can. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I think I told you I went to that longevity conference last summer, and it was a great conference. And one of the things I took away or learned from that conference, and we talked about everything from the most cutting edge, you know, MIT lab work on, you know, redoing your cells to make people live forever,
right,
to simple diet, to everything else. But they said, if you could only do one thing for longevity, if you could just pick one thing, exercise still trumps any of it. It trumps diet. It trumps mindset. It trumps everything else. While all those are super important.
Right.
But if you can only choose to do one thing, exercise is the most important thing.
It's a big lever.
For longevity.
It's a big lever. Like you were talking about the 80-20, right? What is the one thing that I can do that really moves the needle? Because you're breathing, you're moving, you're releasing stress. So it does check a lot of boxes. And the social piece.
And when you exercise, correct, the social piece. And also when you exercise, Phil, as you know, you're like, God, I just worked out so hard. I don't want to eat that donut, right? It also forces better diet choices typically because you're like, I don't want to ruin those 400 calories I just burned with this one bad food choice,
right?
So I think it has that combination effect where it's like once you get into exercise and start working out, it will affect other areas of your life just by a chain reaction.
And you know, Ed, it's funny because there's a starting point if you haven't been exercising where it's awful, right? Like it feels awful. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the other side of awful. And the other side is, I've never felt this good. Like you forget what feeling so good is like. And that's why I think if you do exercise on a regular basis and you get sick or you miss it, you start to not feel like yourself because that self, that identity of an exercise person feels so good and has so much energy. And look, I don't, like you, I don't feel like doing it every day, but I always, always feel better after I do it. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little about that. You know, what prevents people in your years, you know, you see people that are gym fanatics and then people that don't want to work out or are maybe intimidated to go into a regular gym setting. Like, what do you think sort of stops? Why do people stop themselves? If we all know it's important and the most important thing for longevity, what do you think stops people from really exercising or working out?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's different for everybody. It's not necessarily enjoyable in the moment. But again, you know, and you know this from, you know, this is a podcast about building wealth, is that it's not instantaneous, that you have to make sacrifices. And I think the sacrifice in the moment is I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to get up and show up at the gym. I don't want to sweat and suffer a little bit. But if you do, the payoff is huge. And almost with all habits that, you know, have long-term longevity benefits, they're not necessarily that fun in the moment. It's easy to eat a piece of sugar, a piece of candy, you know, but down the road, there's a cost. There's always a cost to it. So I think people need to reframe it. I think this is a new age where we know that it is more than looking good, that it's more than, you know, I have to do this. This is about being around for your kids. This is about having confidence in your body. This is about having energy to run your business. So I think if people can reframe how they think about exercise, it's actually something that makes me feel great and gives me a lot of benefits. You know, maybe they'll be more motivated as opposed to this is something I have to do, right? This is something I get to do versus something I have to do.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Something I want to do.
Yes.
Right.
And that comes eventually.
I want to do it. I love working out. Yeah, it does come eventually. And I think today via technology, like there's really, you know, because a lot of people, maybe they're intimidated, you know, the preconceived notion of these gym rats in there hauling weights around, yelling, whatever. But now with, you know, technology like the mirror as an example, I have one of those in my garage, right? So when I don't see you, maybe sometimes I'll do a yoga class on the weekends, you know, through the mirror in my garage, which is great. You know, I know friends that have Peloton that love them and use them at home. So there's now a lot of, you know, home technology workout advances where you don't really even need to go to the gym if that's something that stopped people in the past. So there's really less excuses,
right?
I think, more now than ever, right? It's like, I don't have time to go to the gym. Well, you have time to walk to your second bedroom, don't you?
Right. So you have to reduce friction on getting it done and create more friction on not getting it done. So if going somewhere doesn't work for you, like you said, get something that you can do at home. If doing it on your own is not, you know, you need support, you need accountability, get a trainer, get a buddy to work out with. And I always, and you know, this is why we do groups. You do, you know, one-on-one with me and you do groups as well. You do both and they both have a different dynamic. But the important thing is that you show up and whatever gets you to show up, whatever gets you to follow through, you know, if it's 3 10-minute workouts throughout the day, great, then do that. You know, so there's ways to do it. You just have to decide you're going to do it and then follow through. until it becomes who you are.
And what do you think, Phil? What do you think's most important? Like, if I'm going to start working out, I mean, I'm a believer in, you know, HIIT, high intensity interval training type workouts, which is a lot of what we do.
Right.
But you know, now there's a lot of study on zone 2, right? The low, slow cardio,
right,
which personally I don't enjoy and I don't do, and maybe I should be doing more of that.
Right.
I'm just kind of wondering sort of where you fall if, you know, someone came to you and said, what type of workouts should I be doing? You know, because I always hear like, oh, I should be doing more cardio. Is that true? To me, I feel like the low, slow cardio is not as beneficial. I'd rather be doing intense workouts and doing weight training. But that's just me, right? And I don't know if I'm correct on that. The thought seems to change sort of every few years.
Right.
So I'm wondering where you fall in that.
Yeah, I think you can do a workout to me, the best workout is one that combines all of those aspects. So there can be a little cardiovascular aspect to it. And as you know, if you're going in a circuit format where you're going from one exercise to the next, your heart rate will go up, it will go down, which is like HIIT training. You can throw in a little HIIT, 20 seconds on a treadmill, and then do some push-ups. So you can combine them, start with mobility, end with mobility. So in a 20 to 30 minute workout, you can get your flexibility and mobility in. You can do a little bit of HIIT training, get some weight training in there, and burn calories, you know, by elevating your heart rate. So you can get a little bit of everything in there all in one shot. That's what I would recommend.
What's your thought on zone 2? I know like Peter Attia is a giant zone 2 guy. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a key component. I think zone 2 is just sort of your endurance capacity. You build certain, you know, pathways. Your body's able to deliver oxygen. You know, they called it, for endurance athletes, they called it base training. I think habit stacking is when you stack two habits. So you're trying to incorporate a new habit. So for example, say you're studying or you listen to a podcast. So doing some zone 2 training could be a great way for you to listen to a podcast and get that zone 2 training in, sort of, you know, knocking out two things at the same time. So that's a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's absolutely essential. I think it is important. But again, that's the being active, going for a walk. Going for a walk, pretty brisk. You don't have to be too brisk. That's zone 2 training, going for a walk with somebody.
Mm-hmm. So let's keep going on the 7 habits, I guess. We touched briefly on meditation. I know that's another habit that you're big on. Do you want to delve more into meditation?
Yeah, I think you've really brought up a good point, Ed, in connecting the mind and the body. They're very interconnected. So, you know, thoughts are sort of emotions for the brain and feelings are emotions for the body. So you have the mind and the body and you need to take care of both of them. So I feel like meditation is a way to exercise the mind, right? Getting focused on your breathing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like you said, learning to breathe, learning to slow down, learning to be present. And just think about how that applies, especially, you know, I just wrote something recently about being too emotional at work, you know, being too reactive at work. And, you know, the 7 habits, the first habit was being proactive, this space between stimulus and response. And so I really feel like meditation helps people develop that space. So it's there. A lot of times it might be very small for some people. And so something happens and they react. But the more you develop that skill of creating that space through meditation, breathing, stepping back, you know, you're better able to respond appropriately to things that happen. And I think that's a critical component. So the meditation is to me exercise, you know, for the brain and the body to connect.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, meditation, I also try to incorporate gratitude into it, which is a big thing. Because like Tony Robbins, as you know, he's saying like, you know, anger and fear, right, sort of get in the way. But when you're grateful, you can't be fearful or angry at the same time that you're being grateful. And I think a lot of times we forget how lucky we are. And even for little tiny things, right, how grateful we are for them. And to really just acknowledge the gratitude can really bring some peace, I believe. You know, like I look at my son that has autism who is 20 years old now. And, you know, I'm grateful for him, right? And maybe that sounds strange, but he is such a blessing in our lives. My wife and I talk about it all the time because he's taught us so much, right? That I would never have learned. Even the journey of health and wellness and longevity in some ways was sort of prompted by him and his diagnosis and us going down that path, right? So as an example, you know, just being grateful for a situation that maybe from the outside seems like it's an unfortunate one is not the right way to look at it. So I think little things in life that we take for granted or obstacles, you know, there's also opportunities to be grateful for them, and that can really help change your mindset.
100%. Just slowing down, like you said, and just, you know, taking in what we have and where we're at. We're just always looking forward and moving forward so fast. It's a great time to do that. So having a gratitude practice as part of your meditation, phenomenal.
Right. Because we all live in two worlds, right? The external world and the internal one. And the internal one is your own voice talking to you all day, every day. And so that's the one you can control. You control that. You can't control the external one all the time, but you can control the internal world. And meditation is a good way to do it.
The private victory, as Stephen Covey called it, the private victory, right? Winning that internal conversation.
Okay, back on your seven habits, Phil. So meditation, next one, 5-minute mobility.
So
let's talk about that.
Yeah, so think of mobility. You know, people get a little confused about what mobility, really mobility is the ability to move in a way and get the things in life done that we want to get done in life. And this comes from, you know, getting off the couch one day, you start to make noise, or get down on the couch or get down on the floor and you start to make noise. And you say, well, wait a minute, my dad used to make noise like that. Why am I making noise like that? And so we lose our ability to move because we spend a lot of time in very fixed positions during the day. So the idea of a very subtle 5-minute mobility practice. You brought up foam rolling, which is part of mobility. So mobility focuses on joint movement. Flexibility focuses on range of motion of muscles. They work together. They're similar. You need flexibility to improve your mobility. But the idea is that once you stretch, once you move, then you're more mobile. You can move without pain. You can move in a way that feels better. You have more energy when you're more mobile. And really, if you think about aging, it's a key component to your posture, right? I always talk about cashew posture, you know, being rounded, your shoulders rounded, your head forward. And if you don't reset, so the 5-minute mobility is really a reset to get you back to neutral as often as you can during
the day. And so give us an example. So what would people do as exercise for this mobility?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like a kneeling lunge and a reach is a great example where you're opening your hip and your upper body and then moving in different directions, right? So you're moving side to side. Rotation. We don't rotate a lot during the day. We're in this very fixed plane of motion. So things like that, child's pose, you know, hugging your knees, doing a little crossover stretch. So you could say it's a little bit of yoga. It's a little bit of flexibility. It's a little bit of PT, right? It's prehab. It's, you know, keeping the ankles loose. And our bodies, it's interesting that our body's made up of mobile joints and stable joints. And if you lose mobility in your ankle or your hip, it goes to these stable joints like your low back or your knee. And that's where you start to have injuries and you start to have problems.
But it's really sort of a holding position like we do, the warm-up in our workout class, basically, is the
five-minute mobility. Yeah, you're trying to get a little bit of motion in the joint. So your shoulder joint, you're trying to loosen up. Your spine, you're trying to loosen up. So you get put a little stretch in an area and then move. So you're stretching, you're lengthening it out, but then you're moving in all these different directions.
And injury, like you brought up, I mean, I do think that's critical to help prevent injury. And injury, that's honestly one of my biggest fears, right? Because as you get older, you don't want some injury and all of a sudden you're sidelined and then you get lazy and you stop going to the gym or you can get on that downward spiral, which you want to stay injury free, right? Staying injury free for as long as possible, I think is critical too.
That's right. So move better, feel better, flow better. And you look at something like Tai Chi, that's a form of mobility. They're moving, they're flowing, their arms are going side to side, and they're energizing their body at the same time. So I find it a very easy activity to generate a little energy to help recharge me during the day.
Oh, so you do it during the day as well as a pre-workout.
I try to do it as often as I can. I might just get up from my desk and do a little bit of mobility. They call it deskercise now.
Okay.
Where you exercise at your desk.
Okay, very good. I got to try that. I don't really do that during the day. Although I do have a standing desk, as you saw, which that's some mobility
that's
right there.
That's a form of it.
Yes. So I try to kind of raise my desk and just stand and talk on conference calls. And you are moving, walking a little bit side to side.
Right.
It helps.
Right. It's big. It's important. I know we got to wrap up. Should we knock out these?
Yeah, do you want to finish the last two? Yep.
Yeah. So one of them that I highly recommend for people is journaling. That could be, like you said, a gratitude journal. You could do gratitude journaling is really important, but just a way, whether it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes, to reflect and get your thoughts down and see your thoughts. And I know, Ed, you do goal setting every year, you know, writing your vision of the year, your 5-year vision, maybe your 10-year vision. I really believe that when you plant that seed in your mind and you see it, you're much more likely to achieve it. So I feel like journaling, like exercise, checks a lot of boxes. It's a good way for you to slow down and reflect. It's a good way for you to be grateful. And it's a great way for you to visualize who you want to be, how you know, what you need to do to get there, and reflect on what's working and not, so you can modify it along the way.
Mm-hmm. And it also sort of forces you, like you said, to slow down and think about what happened, because our lives, we can get caught up in the sweeping of life goes by quickly, right? Like I remember something telling me once, like, the days go by sometimes slowly, but the years go by fast, right? And I think when you start journaling and really sort of writing down moments in your life that are worth remembering, it's super important. So I kind of do like a magic moments weekly thing where I look back on the week, both professionally and personally. And I'm like, okay, what happened last week? And they might be just even little tiny things, but I'll write them down if it was, you know, something that was a little bit of a magic moment, if you will.
And as an entrepreneur, sometimes we don't give ourselves credit for how often we show up and what we do. And so when you reflect like that, you look back and you say, hey, I got a lot of great things done. We are moving forward. We are making progress. And I think that's energizing and motivating.
I think you're absolutely right. Because sometimes you kind of forget or don't see the progress until you start writing it down. And then you realize like, wow, we have come an amazing long way. Oh, and that was a goal that I thought was impossible 5 years ago. We just did that. And I was angry the day it happened, right? I didn't even appreciate it.
But right.
I would have killed for that 10 years ago. And now I have it.
That's right.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting. Okay, so the last of the 7 habits, Phil, let's talk about nutrition. And I noticed you put hydration in there, which is something I probably need to work on more. But I like that you put hydration in there.
Yeah, so let's just talk quickly about nutrition. Nutrition is very personalized, so I'm not going to give you a specific diet. I'm not going to talk about that. I will say, in very simple terms, most people know what's good for them when it comes to nutrition. Most of us don't eat enough protein. So I think protein, whether you get it from vegetables or you get it from meat, I think protein is a key component. So when you think about every meal, think about protein first. I try to teach people to build their meals around protein. Then add fruits and vegetables in, a healthy fat, not multiple healthy fats. So if you have a salad, right, use that as an example, you have chicken, maybe a chicken salad, eat your vegetables. The fats, you have to be careful, because if there's nuts, that's a fat. If there's dressing, that's a fat. If there's cheese, that's a fat. If there's avocado, that's a fat. Now your salad has become a high fat meal because there's 4 different fats in it, even though they might be healthy fats.
They're good fats though, right? But aren't those good fats good for you?
They're all good. I would just say pick one.
Okay.
Pick one, you know, but I would say that's a great formula. And you know this, eating unprocessed foods, you know, processed foods are not good for us. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Avoiding sugar. Sugar is a processed food. Limiting alcohol. Alcohol is a processed food. And I understand those are hard. And, you know, again, it's a choice. And you have to decide what works for you. The hydration, I'll tell you why it's a key component. So I'll tell you a little story. I had a client who would come home at the end of the day and would drink too much. And we were trying to address the issue. And it was 3 beers. I have 3 beers at the end of my day. And it was funny.
Was that hydration? Did he consider that hydration?
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing. The funny thing is he was not drinking water all day and he wasn't eating. And so his body, think of a protein drink, right? It's a liquid form of calories. So he would come home and to de-stress, he would have 3 beers. He would drink. So we started to get him to drink more water during the day, get him to eat lunch, and that changed everything for him. So when he came home, he didn't have that urge to do that. So that's why I bring in the hydration piece, because being hydrated, drinking lots of water, we're very dehydrated, and it's a key component. Like you said, we don't think about it as much, and you really need to be very, you know, intentional about it.
And I think, you know, as it relates to the diet, it is confusing and there's so much you read about, but certainly processed foods and so much has come out about just our food supply in general seems to be tainted. There's more chemicals, there's more crap, and anything packaged or bagged, right, is going to be very bad for you. Seed oils, I think, is it linoleic acid is like a killer. So yeah, there's some simple things you can do just by avoiding that, right? Don't eat things out of boxes and bags for starters. We'll get you on a more healthy, and then try and eat organic if you can, I think is big.
Absolutely.
Even meats, like I eat a fair amount of red meat, which you know, you hear mixed things about, but I think if it's grass-fed, good meat, I think it's okay for you. As long as you don't eat it with excessive carbs, or maybe in your case, excessive fats. I don't know. I thought you could combine fat and protein. It was okay, but maybe
you
I gotta
can,
rethink
you
that.
Can, you definitely can. But yes, anything processed, you want to limit. You just want to limit it.
Yeah, and on the hydration, I remember reading a study years ago from the American College of Nutrition, and they estimated about 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated, if you can believe that, which sounds right? And it's another thing, we move through our day and we forget to breathe and we forget to drink water. And they're both just basic elements of life.
That's right. Foundational. That's why some of these things you might've heard a lot of times, but are you implementing them? Are you doing them, right? Like we go, oh yeah, I know I need to drink water, but are you intentional about it? And it's really important.
So Phil, I think, we're kind of running out of time here. I don't know. I think this was a great discussion. You know, some things I pulled out of it are, I think the real lesson here is, look, just start small. Start small, do something every day as it relates to these seven habits, especially exercise and working out. Because if you can do that, it'll lead to you wanting to do the other seven habits or the other six habits. And once you do that, you know, it's going to unlock, I think, a lot of obstacles in your life and start you on the road to peak performance and success, if you will. Any concluding thoughts, Phil, from you?
No, I would say what's one habit you could start that would have the greatest impact? Kind of your 80-20 rule there, you know, what, you know, and maybe it's exercise. And if you do it with your kids or you do it with a spouse, now you're adding a social piece to it. There's ways that you can habit stack some of these behaviors and get a lot of benefit from it. So it isn't about making time. It's about making it important. And just start with one. It is like a domino, right? Like you talked about when you exercise, you eat better. So pick the big domino that might knock over a few other dominoes.
Yep, I totally agree. So Phil, if people want to learn more, get a hold of you, what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm under Longevity Fitness Coach. I don't think there's a whole lot of us out there. So
I love the name. I didn't know you had that name. That's good.
Yeah.
I love longevity and fitness. I don't love the coaching as much, but I'll tolerate you for the time
being. You get a little bit of both.
Well, listen, Phil, I think it was a great discussion. I really appreciate you coming on the Real Estate Wealth podcast today, or the Real Estate Wealth and maybe Health podcast. Maybe I'll rebrand it. I don't know. Because I do think it's important. I think everything we talked about is critical for maintaining success at any level. And like I said, you know, earlier on, I mean, without wealth, I mean, what's the point of building wealth if you can't sustain it with good health and a good long life? So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I hope today's show inspired you just a little bit, and I would like to thank my guests once again. I'm excited to bring you more episodes with interesting and informative experts to help you navigate your way to wealth and health.
Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Wealth Podcast. The Real Estate Wealth Podcast is produced by Truthwork Media. Our producer is Seth Creekmore, with support from McKenna Smith. For show notes and more information about this podcast, visit edaloy.com. For more information about CalCap Advisors, visit us at calcap.com or follow us on Twitter @CalCap Advisors.
I'm your host, Ed Aloy, and thank you for listening.